You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Up next, we've got our final piece for you today about Simplicity KiwiSaver. They have just released what is, to my knowledge and to their knowledge, the only KiwiSaver document fully written in Te Reo or translated into Te Reo. So I decided that maybe we should have a talk about it, what it means, and what the intersection and overlap between the finance world and Te Ao Māori is and should be or will be in the future. So I started by asking what the process of creating a document as such was, I believe.
Yeah, so look, it's kind of crazy. So KiwiSaver has been going for 13 years, right? 16% of New Zealanders identify themselves as Māori. And yet, to our knowledge, there hasn't been a single document, what's called the product disclosure document, which is the key KiwiSaver document everybody should read. There hasn't been a single example of that produced in Te Reo. And it became, we became aware of this about 18 months ago, and we thought, look, this is kind of crazy. So we began a long process of getting it translated, because we just thought it was the right thing to do. And hopefully, if we set the example, others will follow. Because I do actually think that every KiwiSaver provider should be doing this. It's a really important statement about how important Māori are to New Zealand, but also how important it is that the finance industry services and looks after Māori people well. They are disadvantaged. They have, on average, lower incomes and lower wealth. If there's any, you know, special effort that our industry has to make, it has to be in making financial products accessible to Māori, and so this is a really important first step.
You said that you went through the process of translating it. Although you can word for word translate it, how do you translate a lot of these concepts that may not have a kind of traditional place within Te Ao Māori?
Yeah, exactly. So look, it's a very complex process to get it done properly. So we've got about 76 volunteers in Simplicity. One of them did the initial translation, which was fantastic. And then we took it to an official and authorised translator. And in the process, yeah, you're absolutely right. There are words there and there are concepts there that are not native to Māori, that they haven't had to have them in their vocabulary beforehand. So what the official translator does then is goes to the official glossary. There is a glossary of terms. And if that word isn't on the glossary, then they can effectively come up and create a term which can then be put onto the official glossary. It's quite a time-consuming process. First of all, is finding authorised translators is very difficult. There's massive demand for them. There's lots of translation of key documents going in here. And, you know, finance documents are typically pretty dry ones, so it's not the most exciting of translations for people to do, but it is vital. And so then, yeah, so they go through the official translation, they go to the official glossary. There are, I understand, almost like two versions of the truth in terms of government departments responsible for doing this, but you go and do it anyway, and you come up with the new official term. So what's wonderful about this is this process is expanding the vocabulary of Te Reo as well, and it's making it even more relevant to every New Zealander. You know, you've got 3 million New Zealanders with KiwiSaver accounts there. That means there are something like 480,000 people who identify themselves as Māori. They can now go to a document in one of the two official languages of New Zealand, and they can read those terms in their own language. So I think this is really, it's a really important part of nurturing and developing a language, that you actually continually enrich it with new terms, new phrases, and new words, and that's exactly what's happening here.
You're talking about enriching the language with the ideas of finance. For Simplicity, do you think you see a future where you can enrich the language of finance with the ideas of Te Ao Māori?
Yeah, look, that's a fantastic question, actually. Yeah, what's really interesting about KiwiSaver is that it's investments for the very long term, right? People are investing for 30, 40, 50 years. It's what you'd call almost intergenerational investment, or almost, you're almost perpetual shareholders in companies. What's really interesting about that is not a new idea at all. Māori have had that idea embodied in their culture forever. They have been perpetual shareholders of the environment that they've been in. So they have a very similar, very long-term focus. So I think that in terms of investing, there's an awful lot that you can learn from Māori about how they have nurtured and fostered their assets, as it were, because if we call them investments, they would call them assets over a very long period of time. So, yeah, absolutely. Actually, funnily enough, I think there's more the finance industry can learn from Māori than Māori can learn from the finance industry.
Do you think there is a differentiation between the term assets and investments, or do you think there should be?
It's a really good one, isn't it? So somebody's investment is another person's asset, I guess, or maybe it's the same thing. I think that what we should be looking at is many of the things that we invest in, we should look at as long-term intergenerational assets, societal assets. I think that when you're a KiwiSaver investor, you've got to think that, yes, you have a fiduciary responsibility to look after your investors, but one of the really interesting things about doing that long-term is investing for the next generation as well, because you will ultimately end up making better long-term decisions. Everybody wins when you start thinking long-term. So in the sense, too often the word investment is a very short-term one. I'm going to make an investment, hope to make money. If you start thinking about these things as assets that you'll own for a long time, you'll start making, I think, much more sensible long-term decisions, which will benefit not only the investors, you know, in those assets right now, but also the next generation and the one after that, you know. This whole concept of intergenerational investing is well understood in many parts of the world because New Zealand's such a relatively new country. It's taken us a while to do that, but we are getting there. And KiwiSaver is the most awesome segue into it for all other New Zealanders. But, of course, if you ask Māori, they would say, hey, listen, we've been doing that forever. And they have. And they've been doing it very well, actually.
In looking to the future, as you're saying, in the long term, does Simplicity have any kind of other A, documents that they are looking into translating, or B, any other alterations to their investment schemes and programs along the lines of this change?
Yes, the answer is to those is both. If you start thinking about a multicultural society where there are several dominant languages, not just one, I think you'd have to have a serious look at whether a document should be translated into Mandarin. There are almost 15% of New Zealanders now who identify themselves as ethnically Chinese. That doesn't mean, of course, that Mandarin is the language that they use, but it is the dominant language of that community. So I think we would have a look at that. And then I think in terms of the way we invest, yeah, if you start thinking about investing long-term, very long-term, you start thinking about different alternatives, right? So over time, as we get to be bigger and we maintain that very long-term focus, getting into industries like housing would be very interesting, providing affordable housing for New Zealanders. I think there's a very interesting agricultural play in New Zealand, which is a way less to do with animal-based agriculture but more to do with plant-based agriculture. All of these things need lots of money invested over a long period of time, and they not only house people, but they also employ people as well. So there's some really, really cool things that will happen longer term, I think. And, you know, we just started doing that when we invested in Icehouse Ventures, which invests in startup New Zealand companies, lots of smaller New Zealand tech companies, because we can see that there's a lot of growth. There'll be a lot of long-term return from that industry and a whole lot of jobs created as well. So everybody ends up winning. So, you know, we started on that journey, but it will be a very long journey. Sure.
Why do you think it's taken till now to translate this document or for you to combine these two worlds?
Well, you know, I don't want to be too critical of our industry, but I do want to say I think our industry has served Māori very poorly, and this is just an example of that. It's taken 13 years, and KiwiSaver's now got $60 billion in it, and there will be hundreds of thousands of Māori enrolled in KiwiSaver. It's taken that long for somebody to say, hey, listen, this is the right thing to do. So I just don't think our industry has been too focused on the Māori economy. I think there's a lot of tokenism that goes on there, but actually taking it seriously, I don't think they have. In fact, in many ways, I think that they've walked away from Māori. If you look at how many rural bank closures have gone on in predominantly Māori communities, or ones with very strong Māori presence, or if you look at bank closures in central city, in big cities, in the poorer areas, that's left basically what I call a finance desert out there, where the only advice you can get is from the payday lender. I mean, that's just terrible. So I think our industry served Māori very poorly, and in many ways I think they've walked away, but they have never, ever, ever given them the credit and respect that they deserve. And I think that in KiwiSaver particularly, look, we were bemused. When we started looking around and said, why don't we do this? We said, look, there's no other example of this. And we just thought, this is crazy. Why is this not happening? This is an industry which will earn $500 million in fees this year, and they haven't actually thought about devoting a little bit of money, even though it may not be profitable in the sense that, you know, native Torea speakers may read the English document anyway and sign up to KiwiSaver. So while it's not profitable, if you're really serious about having a multicultural society, and if you're serious about Torea, if you're serious about the financial future of Māori, why aren't you doing this? It's a very obvious thing to do, and so we just thought, bugger it, we'll do it, and we have.
You touched on tokenism there in your last answer, and you were just saying that it's not profitable for someone like Simplicity to implement these changes. Is that how you essentially would make an argument against that, the fact that this isn't a token action, that this is a serious commitment to the combination or merging of these two worlds?
Oh, yeah. Well, look, I think that, you know, when you do something like this document needs updating 3 or 4 times a year. So in that sense, it's a living document. It will change with the nature of our business, and it will always be current. So when you take this on, it can't be a one-off piece of tokenism. You've got to take it seriously. But I think that's really important for our industry, and I think that's important for business generally. I mean, you know, I'm beginning to see what I would say is a whole bunch of tokenism going on amongst business to try and give that veneer of taking Māori seriously, but some businesses, of course, are taking it very seriously and doing a great job. But, you know, when I look at, you know, examples, you know, and sort of, sorry to mention them again, the banks, I see a lot of examples of them, you know, in a PR sense, taking, you know, Māori and Torea seriously, and yet they're closing down their branches in the poorest parts of town and in rural areas where Māori are predominant. So, you know, there's talking the talk, and there's a lot of that going on, but the walking the walk I see less of. And so, you know, this is the beginning of a journey for us. But boy, I mean, look, if the finance industry doesn't take Māori seriously, they're stupid. They have billions of dollars of assets at their command via, you know, treaty settlements. They represent 15% of the population, and there's an emerging Māori middle class who have serious buying and investing power as well. So you'd be very dumb to just engage in tokenism or to ignore this. They are going to be a force in society from a financial point of view, as they absolutely should be.
I've got one last question for you, and that's, you kind of touched on it there as well. How do you tell who's walking the walk as opposed to talking the talk? And are there any examples that you would recommend people to get behind so they can actually support people that are walking the walk rather than just talking the talk?
That's a good question. Look, I think it's hard, right? Because a lot of businesses have PR machines which are designed to generate the impression that they're walking the walk. I think people are smarter than that, and they'll work it out over time. If there were two questions I would ask, it's, how long have you done this? So let's just see whether this is a one-off, you know, press release, or whether you actually have done it for a number of years. And secondly, did it actually cost you any money? How much did it cost? And you know what? People are kind of smart. I think people have got pretty good radars for these things. I think they can work out when they're just seeing a press release or whether they believe this, you know, business is taking it seriously. An example of taking it seriously might be someone like Air New Zealand, for example. You know, they have Torea classes. They brought Torea into most parts of their business. Every member of the board of directors, I think, has a personal Torea coach. You know, so that, yeah, that they really are serious about it. That they take it seriously. I think that comes out. You know, and I would contrast that with some of the behaviours, and I won't name the companies, but you know, I see chief executives in feather cloaks. You know, on you know, stage photo shoots, and I just sort of think, really, you know, really, do you really take it that seriously? I don't know, you know, we'll see. But I think that I think people are smarter than some of these companies give them credit for, and they'll work it out over time. But I don't have a quick and instant answer for you.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.